your boy SYER. They know who we are.
It's your boy J Omega SO on every social network.
Man, I heard the little shots you threw at me last episode.
Honestly, I'm trying to get you to just change your shit to Sayer SO.
I need to.
No underscore.
I've been lazy.
But you know what? Social media be making it so hard for you to change your fucking name.
I think that's why I haven't done this.
You can't change. Like, I think on, it's not, I don't know if it's Twitter or Snapchat or all of them, you can't like physically just say, okay, now I want to change my name from J Omega SO to J Omega underscore SO. Yeah. Some of the social media platforms don't be fucking with you like that.
You could do it, I think, on like IG.
Yeah,
and shit like that, but I don't think I could do it on Twitter and all that shit. So I'm gonna get to it, y'all. My fat, we're going off
anyway.
Jay and I already half lit.
Oh,
nigga.
Episode definitely sponsored. So it's brought to you in part by both Effin Vodka. So here's the thing. I decided to go ahead and give Effin another try.
Yep.
Because I don't feel like we were bashing Effin in the Pastor Effin Ciroc episode. Nah. I just feel like we had to make it known that Ciroc was better. But Effin, we did make it clear that it was a good vodka and that it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what, let me go ahead and try one of the flavors out. I was in the liquor store today and I found black cherry and cucumber.
We're still a little with the cucumber because I don't know what we could do with that, man.
Yeah, Sayer was a little iffy with the cucumber. He said, I don't know if I want to go that route. So I said, all right, let's do the black cherry. We bought the black cherry, and I must say, it was smooth.
It's smooth. It's actually pretty good.
It's smooth going down. We mixing it with some homemade iced tea, and it ain't bad, man. It ain't bad. So, episode brought to you in part by Effin Black Cherry. And Sayer, do the honors of letting us know what it's also partially brought to you in part by.
First of all, I want to say, fuck Jay, because he set me up.
I'm a lush, guys.
Jay's a lush.
I'm a lush.
He comes in. Well, actually, he sent me over the weekend. He sent me a snap. He's just like, hey, got that Everclear.
Woo!
Now, I've heard stories about Everclear. I never came across it. I'm not a big drinker like that. I'll drink social. When I'm home, you know, whatever. I sip on my Henny and shit like that. So we get here and he brings out the Everclear. He gives me the heads up. He goes, hey, it's smooth. It's definitely smooth. It's going to burn your fucking life. He goes, let it sit for like 30 seconds. Nigga, your whole chest is going to be on fire. Guess what? My chest was on fire for a good 5 minutes. Pause. My throat was on fire. And you know what, nigga? I think I'm still feeling it. It's partially brought to you by Everclear as well.
I'm gonna tell you something about you're out of black cherry.
Wow. All right. No, don't even worry about it. I don't even really need to be.
Do you need a refill? You want a refill, don't you?
Yeah.
Go get a refill while I tell the people a little bit about Everclear.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna let Sayer go ahead and get a refill of this. This black cherry, it must be better than what the hell I thought it was. But anyway, pardon me, y'all. So Everclear, let me tell y'all a little bit about Everclear. I heard about this about 4 or 5 years ago, actually, when I was 21. And when I was turning 21, this chick hit me up on MySpace and she was like, oh, yo, so what you gonna do for your birthday? You gonna take like 21 shots, you're going to take 10 shots of this, 10 shots of that, and then a shot of Everclear. And I'm like, what's Everclear? Like, I didn't know what the hell it was. And when she explained it, she was just like, oh, some illegal alcohol that you're not supposed to have in the US, whatever, but certain people got it. So I'm like, whatever. I never knew about it. I never fucked with it. I never like sought after it, nothing like that. So I'm in the liquor store last weekend. And it's crazy because I saw Everclear just sitting there on the bottom shelf and I was like, yo, I gotta fucks with it. It wasn't expensive. It was kind of cheap. I said, yo, let's do it. So, you know, I bought it, took it home. Me and wifey took a shot immediately. Immediately, we were done off. Like, very quickly. Sia is back, by the way. And yeah. Did you take a shot of Everclear while you was downstairs?
I actually just went to laugh and pause. No homo shit went down the wrong. Pause.
But yo, let me tell you, yo, Everclear, no lie, Everclear is fire. It's real smooth. It's I guess it's grain liquor. I never heard of it, but it goes down smooth, but the fire is everlasting, like I said.
Yo, if you're a lush like Jay,
fucks with it.
Fucks with it. If you're a casual sipper like me, don't do it to yourself. Please don't do it to yourself. All right? Don't.
But we're gonna get into the episode though. We appreciate everybody listening. Speaking Definitely. Of that. We really got some good news to bring to y'all this week. If y'all follow us on Facebook. If y'all follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all of the social media platforms that we're active on, y'all know that we have, as of 2 days ago, I want to say Wednesday, since y'all are listening to this Friday. As of Wednesday, we have officially made it to the new and noteworthy section of iTunes podcast section, and it's all thanks to you guys. Sayer. Sayer is losing his mind. Yo, that reminds me of the time when you lost your mind at S. Shaka's performance at the church.
Yo. Notice he said in a church.
Yo, he's at a church and Sayer.
My nigga, I am going to hell. I am going to hell.
Yo, we do. my God. Listen, yo.
Shout out to Shaka. Yo, he put together a great performance. He put together a great show, excuse me. And he invited us ignorant ass niggas in there. I think we were drinking before we got there.
Oh, man. Definitely was drinking.
He said, yo, let me give a shout out to the SO boys in here. My mind immediately got ignorant. I threw a gun sign in the air, and I was like, buh, 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 and realized that I was in a church.
We're in the middle of a church. It's mad old blacks.
I'm doing trigger fingers in church.
It's mad old blacks in the fucking church. Look at that Sayer like he was a troubled child.
I wasn't the only. I mean, my shit was bad, yo. But then we had JP Wildin'.
No.
We had the chick with the mean Caesar. Waves and all that. Niggas had jokes on that.
Yo,
we're going to hell.
I'm not gonna lie, we was in there. I'm not a very religious person, y'all. I'm spiritual. And I know a lot of people say that, and it may be cliche, but I'm a spiritual person. You know what I mean? I do believe there's a creator. Yeah. And I believe what I believe at the end of the day. I don't knock anybody's religion. I do actually get a good feeling when I go to church. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad feeling.
Oh no, so do I.
But you know, we came there. You know, with the wrong, I think we came there with the wrong idea and the wrong, not even intention. I don't think we intended to do what we did.
I think it was just, we thought it was going to be something that it wasn't.
Oh, man. We thought we was going to go and it was just going to be a show. It's going to be people rapping. You know what I'm saying? And it was going to be at a church, like, hey, we're doing something good and we're donating the money. But
that still sounds bad.
We in the parking lot of the church drinking Bacardi, like just getting lit. Automatically we go into hell. Then we go in there and Shaka, you know, the street officials, we a street team. That's why it's the officially street podcast. Word. We speaking for the streets, coming from the streets, for us, by us, stamped, verified by the streets. FUBU by the streets. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And we might be mature. We might have come a long way. But at the end of the day, this is where we come from. Yeah. This is what we giving to y'all. This is why y'all enjoy us. So when our man says, yo, shout out to SO in the building, we automatically got ignorant. Like, motherfucker threw up a trigger finger in the air and started letting off fabricated fake shots.
The whole church just got quiet. Like,
they looked like, okay, who did you bring here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we wanted to, like, y'all gotta understand, there was no cursing in any of the performances. No. It was a great show. Like, no lie.
It still was a great show.
Kudos to Shock and everybody that was a part of that. But anyway, we getting off topic.
Just real quick, we was letting the jokes go that day.
Oh, we was letting them go. Oh, we was getting all the jokes off.
Y'all were getting
on everybody.
We was getting flamed.
We was getting all the jokes off. If y'all was there, you got roasted.
Oh, yeah. No,
secretly.
No, Quana didn't want to own you after that.
Oh, like, Quana was like, sick. I don't know who I'm here with.
She didn't want to deal with any of us.
Yo, y'all was getting sidebar roasted the whole time. Like, yeah, we was whispering
to each other like, look at this bitch, sees her waves spinning harder than mine. Her waves spinning harder than mine. Like, I wanted to know what product she used.
And she was not having it. All right, yo, we got sidetracked.
Anyway,
man.
Anyway, listen. We appreciate y'all for listening, okay? The reason why Syed lost his mind is because we celebrating today. We drinking this black cherry effing. You know, we took a shot of Everclear. We celebrating this episode because we got some great news. We made it to the new and noteworthy section of iTunes.
It's not, you know,
we're not the, everybody who starts a podcast, I would say, their aspiration is to get there starting off, right? And what really makes us passionate about it is we're only 10 episodes in, 11 now with this one. And to have made it there is very important to us because we just started this.
Yep.
And the fact that you guys are riding with us the way you're riding with us is we appreciate it so much that we can't even explain. And the way we wanted to really give back to y'all is give everybody a shout out that we can who have been listening to the podcast from day one and some of our main listeners and you know and countries and cities all over the world. It's really crazy. I don't think you guys understand.
Countries. You hear that? Countries.
I don't think you guys understand, like, when we're looking at these stats, it doesn't just say, okay, a bunch of New York and PA niggas and people are listening to our podcast. It's all over the place, and it's decent numbers. And like I said, we couldn't do this without y'all. Definitely. All we're doing is sitting here, we're recording this, we're coming up, we're putting a lot of work and time into it.
Yeah, definitely.
But we're giving it to y'all and hoping that it's well-received, and y'all are receiving it very well, so... Mm. We're just going to start this out by giving a little shout out to all of our top listeners in no specific order. I mean, we're just reading the stats right off of SoundCloud. Now, this is just SoundCloud. This is not including iTunes and any other Android apps and podcast apps that y'all might have. Mm-hmm. So... without further ado, we want to give a shout out to Dutch. Dutch is SO. Shout out to Dutch because Dutch has actually been wilding.
we need to talk, bro.
Like, since we started this podcast, he got like 200 plays, and I don't know what to even say about that because
we appreciate it.
Me and Syed are right behind him. Now, obviously, me and Syed play our own shit, both on iTunes and SoundCloud, because we want to make it better. We want to listen to it and study it. Like, that's why we're up here in the top three listeners, because we're literally studying this podcast. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Syed, my co-host. Shout out to me, also a co-host. Shout out to Bobby Hill. Shout out to me. Shout out to Bobby Hill, a good friend of ours that we went to high school with. Right. Drew Real, SO in the building. You already know what time it is. Melissa Malavette, excuse me. We went to school with Everclear. Her as well. I don't know Everclear is on deck. I don't know who Q45 is.
We went through this, man. It's salute to my pops, man. He makes sure that he supports us. He's listening and he gives me feedback as well. He shares a laugh. When we're talking about my wife, I love you, babe, because she thinks that I paint a bad picture of her. He laughs because he don't know that she's that crazy. You know what I mean? So shout out to you, pops. Thank you for listening.
Shout out to Syed's pops. That's what's up. My fault for not knowing who you were. Benny Wave, SO in the building. Shout out to Benny Wave. Shout out to Sebo for the Love of the Game Sports. Definitely check out for the Love of the Game Sports podcast on iTunes. He was up here not too long ago. He's broken into the top 15 of the new and noteworthy. Yeah. So definitely shout out to him. She made one of our episodes the most played episode that we had.
And if
so
y'all trying to figure out what Sebo half and half is, man, y'all got to hit the man up.
Definitely hit him up. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Show him some love. Shout out to Syed's brother, Sean Reyes. Shout out to Nick Coleman, one of my coworkers. Shout out to Neuron Enriquez. I haven't spoken to you in a long time, but I know I went to school with you. I know I follow you on Snapchat, so shout out to you. Good looking on the love. Shout out to Clay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to T-Rock, one of my coworkers, Joey Ells, SO in the building. Shout out to Oscar, Hoodfellas in the building. Shout out to VS Remix, Nikki Six. Now, I want to actually take a second here and really show Nikki Six some love.
Definitely.
Nikki Six is actually one of the primary reasons that we're doing so well with this podcast. Nikki has actually been riding with us since day one, since before the podcast.
Yep.
Not to spend too much time here, but I took the effort into trying to really build a relationship with Nikki, and she was very open and easily accessible. It wasn't like trying to reach out to somebody who is always busy and they can't respond. Nikki Six, just to give you a background on Nikki Six, she runs a hip hop underground hip hop blog at NikkiSix.com. There's a lot, and I'm gonna get into that. Okay. So the website is www.NikkiSix, and it's spelled NikkiSix.com. All right, NikkiSix.com. She is primarily an underground hip hop site, but she also covers comic books. She also covers movies, television series, games, just literally everything. We talk about The Walking Dead. She talks about The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect blog for somebody who's into like a Fan Bros podcast or just into many different genres of everything.
Yep.
And she does an excellent job at it. She has great writers. She works very hard on her brand. And she looks out for us, OD. She has posted every episode that we have recorded since episode one, pretty much.
Yeah.
And she's looked out, and it's never been a problem. And she's just showing the utmost love. So we got to give a shout out to Nikki Six, a special shout out. Mm-hmm. Definitely go check out the website if you're a blogger, aspiring blogger, if you're just into any of those things, video games, movies, TV series, podcasts, music, whether it be hip hop or R&B, check out Nikki Six.
Shout out to Rich Fraze. I see you, boy. My boy LQB, he's up there as well. Shout out to Jazz. She's always showing love.
SO in the building.
And I don't know if he's up there, but I know he checks. I mean, every week, because he be hitting me up. Shout out to my boy Terrence, aka Felipe, aka I always call him another name to the point where I forget his real name, but AKA, I know that's Terrence.
Black Efron on Twitter.
Yes, shout out to you, boy. who else we got up there?
Actually,
Mr. 808, I see you.
You want to be fun? Mr. 808 is actually the producer of The Haunting on A Message from Beyond. If you listen to that episode. The Haunting, that song was actually produced by Mr. 808. Shout out to him. Shout out to JP. Y'all know JP. Shout out to JP and his moms.
Word.
His moms listen to this podcast. So definitely shout out to her. Shout out to AJ Sway. Shout out to Shock, like we said. Shout out to Lord Ga, J Double, Callie, Sunray, Garina, French, Chai Kai, or Chi Kai, Sarita Jones, Slaughtery Ed, Torian DJ, Kenny Georges, Ashley Atwood, Fumbar William, Lana Don, shout out to Elon, shout out to Adrian Williams, Prince Ghost, Jonathan DeLeon, and Manifested Dreams and Nappy Boy. And also shout out to Cody Sawyer. And I believe that was it. As far as the users, if you didn't create a username, I'm sorry. There's 505 other people in quotes and air quotes that aren't coming up as actual users
on SoundCloud.
So we really appreciate y'all. And as far as the countries, we definitely have to do this. I don't think y'all really understand the like how far we're branching out. And we just think it's amazing. So shout out to the UK.
Yep.
Shout out to Germany, Canada, Montenegro, Russia, the Netherlands, France, Chile, Australia, Japan, Macedonia, Croatia, Lebanon, Korea, Peru, Spain, Brazil, Romania, and the Philippines. Shout out to all of those countries. First of all, I can't even name countries. I can't make this up. Because I can't name countries that way. I don't even know the difference. I barely know the difference between a country and like a
continent.
A continent, exactly. Like I'm very bad. I'm not geographically sound. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it just shout out to all the love that we're getting from everywhere. We had to take some time out to do that. We really appreciate it. Y'all are the ones who are keeping us moving forward. Mm-hmm. If you have not listened yet, if you have not written a review yet, and you are a subscriber, or even if you haven't subscribed yet, please, please, please go to the podcast app on your Apple iPhone or on iTunes, or go to Podcatcher or podbean.com or Podcast Addict and check us out, man. Leave us subscribe, leave us a review. In order to leave us a review, this is what you have to do. I'm going to explain this because a lot of people have told me they don't know how to leave a review. So I'm going to explain it real quick. If you follow me on Snapchat, you know I've done this before. Mm-hmm. But in order to leave a review, all you got to do is search the Officially Street Podcast from your podcast app on your iPhone. Search the Officially Street Podcast. Click the below left icon. And when you click that, you're going to see down in the center area, it's going to say reviews. So just click write a review and just go on. Give us a 5-star rating. I don't care if please, you give us a 1-star rating.
Give us some feedback.
Just
give
leave us feedback. You know what I mean?
We know we could do better.
If you enjoy it, let us know that you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, let us know that you don't enjoy it. But at the end of the day, you guys are the reason that we made it to the new and noteworthy section. And you guys are the reason that we are what we are at this point. So mm-hmm. we really appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And that's it, man. Now, without further ado, that was 20 minutes well spent in my eyes.
Work.
Let's go ahead and get into the show.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
What's going on, refs? It's your boy, J Omega, back with another great episode of the Officially Street Podcast. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Happy SO Friday, by the way. But you know, we got to bring y'all another spoiler alert. It's becoming a tradition here at the TOS Podcast. So if you haven't seen the last episode of The Walking Dead, we suggest y'all skip to about 51 minutes and 40 seconds into this episode if you don't want it to be spoiled for you. Again, you have been warned. That's 51 minutes and about 40 seconds if you don't want the episode spoiled. Now let's get back to the show.
We're gonna start it off, man, right there with let me see, we're doing The Walking Dead, right? Let's start off with Walking Dead, man, because it was an amazing episode. A lot of people were saying that it was a little bit of a sleeper, but it answered a lot of questions that we had and we spoke about. So let's get into it right now. Let me bring up my notes, that would help.
The art of peace. Aikido.
Aikido.
Aikido. That's the name of it. So for those of y'all who haven't saw the episode, y'all got the spoiler alert already. So at this point, you're shit out of luck if you're still listening.
Right.
Do we want to talk about Aikido right away, or do we want to talk about...
Let's get into it. Let's start it off from the beginning.
Let's get into it. So... we started off, Morgan is losing his mind. We remember this from a couple seasons back past. Excuse me. I had a bunch of questions, and I'm sure you did too.
Yep.
So, was Morgan crazier then or now? I have that question in my head because after learning about Aikido, you know what? Let's get into the beginning of the episode. So in the beginning of the episode, we see Morgan. He's clearing, quote unquote, doing the air quotes on my SIBO shit. He's clearing. And if you guys remember from a couple seasons back, clearing meant he's pretty much going into areas surrounding his home base and killing everything that is there.
Legit everything. Everything. Walkers, people. Whatever.
That's the definition of clearing. He goes to an area and anything that is living in that area gets murdered. And now the area is clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same as when the army goes into a building, they want to make sure there is no threats in that building. Yep. It's clear. All right. He was still doing that. He ended up actually getting caught. He heard a goat. And he said to himself, okay, this might be food.
Yeah.
I might have to just kill it. I don't know whether he was going to kill a goat and eat it.
That's probably what it was.
He's probably going to eat it. He probably was going to eat it. Mm-hmm. I mean, You need to eat, so it's unrealistic to assume he was just going to kill an animal and not eat it.
Dude was like, so, don't touch the goat.
Right. So all of a sudden, he hears somebody like, ew, don't touch that goat. Mm-hmm. It's mine.
I try and make goat cheese.
So automatically, we think back to the episode prior to this one when, or actually two episodes prior to this one, where Rick asked Morgan, hey, where'd you learn those techniques? Yeah. And Morgan said, a cheesemaker. So automatically we know.
Jay, drop the bomb.
So automatically.
I don't be picking up on shit. I really be sitting there trying to take notes and making sure that I could be there with Jay. And he always got something to just one up whatever the fuck I have, man. So
A couple episodes ago, Rick
didn't
is like.
Pick up on that, but okay.
Rick is like, yeah, where'd you learn all those moves? And Morgan was like, I learned it from a cheesemaker. And nobody really listened. Yeah. Everybody's like, what the fuck is he talking about? But, you know, so as soon as we hear the guy says, yeah, man, I'm trying to learn how to make cheese. I'm like, all right, here go the cheesemaker.
Yep.
And then, so Morgan is thinking to himself, fuck the goat. I have to clear.
Yep.
So when this is a Morgan, this is a Morgan where we've gone into the past and this Morgan is the Morgan that has to clear.
Yep.
He sees no other goal in his mind. So as soon as he heard another human's voice, he said to himself, I gotta kill this motherfucker.
Yep.
So it's like, damn the goat. But the guy is like, I want to protect my goat. Morgan made it his business at that point to show that he needed to clear. And he started shooting at the dude. Once you even get like a little shadow of the guy, he starts shooting at him. The dude is like, listen, I don't want to go this route.
Mm-hmm.
Chill out.
He's letting him know.
Chill out,
shit can
bro.
Get real.
He's like, listen, chill out. Okay. I'm trying to save my, just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Morgan is like, fuck that. I got to clear. I done already found this. Now
you
this
got
is
this goat too.
Yeah. Yep. It's a goat here. You are here. It's clearing time. So, so Morgan is going off trying to find this nigga. And, you know, he gets caught up. He ends up looking, I guess, the dude was just, he'd been here before. He'd been down this road, and Morgan kind of gets a little confused. He's trying to find him. He gets blindsided. The dude cracks him over the head with a stick, excuse me. And he says, sorry, before knocking him out.
Just like the last episode. Was it last episode?
It was.
The episode before.
It was the last episode.
It was when the wolves were in the town. Last episode was two episodes ago.
Okay.
So
see, you catching shit. I try
here and there.
Same way Morgan said sorry to the dude with the long hair before he knocked him out.
That's another thing.
That's what makes us understand. Well, that's the end of the episode.
So we'll save it for the We'll save it for the end because
one
of the questions that we had
We had in the last episode. All right. So we'll get to that at the end, if we can remember. I'm gonna actually write it down.
Yeah, please do.
So,
the dude he pretty much knocks Morgan out, and then Morgan wakes up and he's in pretty much a makeshift jail cell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and he's. You know, he's letting the guy know that, you know, hey, you let me out of here, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The guy's trying to, like, you know, talk with him. You know, he feeds him. I think he was giving them, like, oatmeal patties or something like that that they were eating.
So,
and
first,
like that.
So first, let's give them a description of this guy. He's a older to middle age white dude, tall.
Yeah.
Fairly American shape. I won't say out of shape. He's in quintessential American shape. And so the reason I want to tell you guys that is because this dude is not some superhuman strong. Like, you look at Morgan and you're like, yo, Morgan could take people.
Yeah.
When I saw the episode, I said to myself, damn, how is this man getting the best of Morgan? The dude is not very in shape. He's a white guy. Like I said, he's a lot older. I won't say extremely old, but I would say he's probably in his late 40s, if not is not the late 50s. And
it's pushing it.
It's kind of pushing it, but you know, early 50s, late 40s, and definitely got the best of Morgan throughout pretty much the entire episode. So he had him in a makeshift cell, and he was feeding him. We don't know what he was feeding him at first.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it looked
We found out a little bit later. We found out a little bit later what his story was, but he was feeding him some vegetarian type shit.
And he gives him. Didn't he give him the book pretty early?
He gave
but
him the
then
book
Morgan
a little bit
just
early.
Ignored it.
Yeah, Morgan ignored the book for a while. So, what basically happened was Morgan was in the cell and said, "Listen, you know, why do you have me in here?" And the dude was like, "Look, you got to chill out." Mm-hmm. And Morgan is like, "No, I have to clear."
Yep. He kept saying that.
I got to clear. Fuck all the chilling out. Mm-hmm. And the dude was like, Eastman is the dude's name.
Yeah, Eastman.
Let's go ahead and just say his name is, was it Earl Eastman or was it just Eastman?
I don't remember his first name. I just know it was Eastman.
So let's call him Eastman. So Eastman keeps saying, "Man, what do you mean you got to clear?" And Morgan told him, like, this is what I do. And Morgan confessed to Eastman that he actually killed two people prior to even getting to Eastman's camp. And we do see that in the episode.
That's a crazy clip because it shows how heartless he was.
Yeah.
Because, like, the dudes just pop up and you could tell they weren't trying to attack him. They were a little startled, like, whoa, you know, and Morgan just comes out like, "Oh, clearing time," stabs this one nigga in the throat and then chokes out the other dude.
I would argue that
I don't think they were trying to attack him.
Being devil's advocate though, they were following him and running up behind him. They didn't see him. So let's put it this way. This is a time where you can't trust nobody.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Right? They didn't see him and go the other way. They saw him and they ran after him.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly ran after him. They didn't say, so why were they running after him if not to attack him? Now, if you just want to make a companion, why don't you just say, yo?
Yeah. I hear you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They ran after him.
You're right.
And they were hiding. They were definitely hiding and they definitely ran after him. I think they realized they fucked with the wrong one. I'm not going to say
that's probably why they just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they were just, I'm not going to say they were evil people. I'm not going to say they were there to hurt him. Mm-hmm. When you say attack, I think you also mean hurt. I don't think they were there to hurt him, excuse me. I think they were there to take whatever he had so that they could survive. Gotcha. Like, listen, it's dog eat dog. I'm sorry. Give us your shit. I don't want to hurt you. Just give us your shit. All right.
I
think that's what it was. And more, they just found out, like, holy shit, this is not the dude. and the first dude couldn't, he didn't get a chance.
Mm-mm.
He got speared in the throat, done off immediately.
Immediately.
The next dude, he started getting choked out. Morgan had him by the throat. And he said, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. We realized we fucked with the wrong one. And Morgan was like, nah. It's over.
But that
for
just
you.
Shows like where his mind
Morgan
was.
Morgan choked his life out like it was nothing, and the dude died. And we'll get to that a little bit later because it's very interesting. But very interesting. Mm-hmm. But Morgan confessed to Eastman that he did this. Eastman's like, "Look, I'm gonna throw you this book."
Yeah.
The book was called The Art of Peace.
The book was called The Art of Peace. When they flipped it open, that's when they explained what it was.
Right. But Morgan ignored this book for quite some time. But he watched Eastman out the window because remember, Morgan is locked up in this makeshift cell and he's looking out the window and he's watching Eastman. All Eastman continues to do is kill walkers that come for the goat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
And then after he kills the walker.
Gardening and stuff like that.
And doing some gardening. Right. But after he kills each walker, you see Eastman dragging the walker away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't exactly see what Eastman's doing with the walkers. Another interesting thing that we find out toward the end.
Yep.
So eventually Eastman comes around and says, "Okay, I'm going to let you out."
Yeah.
By the way, the cell has been open this entire time.
Well, let's point out the fact that Morgan was trying
he
to
was,
escape.
He was. He was.
And he was sitting there like prying at the window.
I was just going to bring that up.
Okay, my fault.
Like,
he was trying to open up, you know, he had like a piece of wood from the window frame and he just kept like digging at it. He had like a piece of his zipper.
Yeah.
He was digging out at it and he was just trying to escape. And there's a part where you see the wood, the frame is about to come apart and then Eastman is walking back and he like, you know, puts it all back together. And I think that's when Eastman tells him like, "Yo, the cage been open this whole time."
So Morgan was absolutely getting ready to break out of something that he didn't need to break out of. And he was going hard as fuck.
Yeah.
Broke a piece of his zipper off, like Sayer said, you know, started going to work. When Eastman came in the house, well, actually, when Eastman started walking back to the house, Morgan was like, oh, shit. And he put everything away.
Okay.
And Eastman told him, listen, the door's been open the whole time. You're not being held captive here. I just had to calm you down. He gave him two options.
Yeah.
He said, you can sleep on the couch and we could work something out, or you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan, as we know, at that time,
it was still crazy.
His only objective was to clear. Okay. So Eastman opened the door. Morgan calmly walked out.
And then just.
And wild out.
Like that.
I'm not going to lie. I jumped a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Morgan came out the cage like, okay.
Snap.
And just started wilding. And then it went straight to commercial. And then when it came back from commercial, we just see the white nigga whooping Morgan's ass.
Yeah, like, that's what's crazy. You know, one thing that like it shows again what his mind was. Every time that this dude got the best of Morgan, Morgan was just like, kill me. Kill me.
That,
kill me.
That's very true.
I'm here to clear. That's all I'm here to do. If you got the upper hand, kill me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And this dude, I mean, Morgan kind of, you know, he got a couple hits in, you know, when they were doing that little scuffle when he let him out the cage. But then the dude just started whooping his ass again. You know what I mean? And I think it was that point that Morgan, I mean, his mind was still a little gone. But like he realized like, all right, man, I can't win with this dude. Every time I try to get the upper hand, this dude just keeps fucking me up. You know what I mean? So they start building a relationship. And when does he start reading the book?
He starts reading the book after I think he gets bested by Eastman, and he continues to watch him and see what he's doing. Oh, so now at
I didn't
this
even bring
point,
up the fact that he went back into the cell after he got
fucked. Oh, he went back
up.
Into the cell.
He's
so
like,
what,
ah, fuck this.
So basically what happened is Eastman said, look, I bested you and everything, but I gave you two fucking options. It's either you get the couch or you leave, so you choose. Mm-hmm. And what Morgan did was he went back into the cell.
Yeah.
And he closed the cell. Yeah. And this had me dying laughing. Do you remember what happened?
Both.
Yo,
you
no. Did you remember what happened? This had me dying laughing. Morgan went into the cell and closed it.
Yeah.
Eastman was like, fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I told you it's open.
Yeah.
Now that you know it's open, mm-hmm. I'm not going to let you sit in here like a caged animal. So mm-hmm. Eastman opened it like just a little bit. Just
Morgan
just
slammed
it. Morgan slammed the shit back closed. Like, no, nigga, I'm locked up here. And Eastman is like, no, nigga, you're not. Yeah. I'm letting you know. Don't sit in here like it's like you're being held captive. I told you it's open. So he opened it a little bit. Eastman, motherfucking Morgan slammed the shit back. So Eastman, I don't know how he slept that night without thinking Morgan was going to wake up and wail his tail.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have slept, but we don't know. But Morgan,
I definitely want to have.
Morgan stayed in the cage that whole night, and I think he started to think a little bit.
Yeah.
Following day, Eastman said, listen, I got to make a run. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you think you want to come with me? Yeah, Morgan was like, fuck out of here.
Yeah, he didn't really say shit.
He didn't say nothing.
He just gave him that
face. And then he was like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And Morgan didn't answer. He said, listen, can you just watch my goat? Mm-hmm. I got to go somewhere. Can you watch my goat? Morgan was like, all right. He didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could tell that it was just like, whatever. So when Eastman left, I think that's when Morgan started reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
He started understanding what the meaning of Eastman's motive was,
mm-hmm.
and we read the definition of Aikido.
Yep.
So I actually have
did you take a snapshot. Okay.
The definition of Aikido. Let me get into this. So inside of the book of the Art of Peace, it says Aikido means not to kill. Aikido means not to kill. Although nearly all creeds have a commandment against taking a life, most of them justify killing for one reason or another. Even in the Bible, it says there's a time to kill. That's not part of the quote, but I'm just making a mention of that. Back to my quote. In Aikido, however, we try to completely avoid killing even the most evil person. So that's the definition of Aikido. And that is what Eastman wrote in the opening flap of the Art of Peace book. So when Morgan read this, I think it kind of came into perspective as to why Eastman wanted to save this goat the way he did it, I don't think it was just about cheese. And I think Morgan realized that. And Morgan also realized why Eastman wouldn't kill him.
Yeah.
And I think it just came into perspective a little bit. And he sat in and he reminisced a little bit.
You know what I thought was dope? You could see where, like, there was a change when there was walkers that were coming to get the goat.
Yep, get into that, because I was getting ready to do that.
Yeah, you saw the concern in his face, and he went out there.
At first, he didn't
You could see that he was a little reluctant a little bit, but, like, I think he looked at the book and, like, looked at the goat, and he was like, all right, man, yeah, I got to do this. And he goes out there, and he takes the walkers down to protect the goat, which is pretty much what Eastman told him to do.
Now, going further into that, he took the walkers that he killed and he dragged them blindly, dragged them into the direction that he saw Eastman dragging the walkers. And when he got far enough, he realized that Eastman actually had a plot of buried walkers all over the place.
Yeah.
And he still didn't know the entire story, but he said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do what Eastman does. And he started digging a hole for the walker. We know that Morgan was used to just burning all the walkers.
Yeah, yeah,
so the fact that he even started to dig a hole showed growth on Morgan's side, because Eastman got back to the little cottage or whatever, and he saw Morgan digging a hole, and he was like, hey, I appreciate this, but hold on. He pulled the wallet out of the walker's pocket, and he took the ID out, and he was like, this is who this person was. And it's like, at that point, you realize that Eastman really still considers, even though he's killing the walkers, you can tell that he knows he has to kill the walkers. He's still trying to remember them as humans and as who they were and who they would want to be remembered by. So I think Morgan really put that into perspective and started to reflect and was like, shit, this guy, you know, as crazy as he might think, as crazy as Morgan might think Eastman was, he started to realize, like, damn, man, you know, there's a method to his madness. And so he started going on runs with him, and they started bonding a little bit, talking a little bit more, and becoming friends. And
training.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, training.
He started to train.
So you see where he learned all it.
He started to train Morgan on Aikido. And it's funny because Aikido is a way of living, but it's also a form of martial arts.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. So he started training Morgan on Aikido. That's all of that stick shit that he'd be doing that Rick was like, where'd you learn that? Real cool shit. And, you know, unfortunately, I'll jump right into kind of like the climax of the story.
Real quick, I just want to bring up, before you get to that, it's just a side story that they spoke about. And it kind of shows like how much of a believer he is in the Aikido, is when he talks about the Crete and Dallas dude.
Oh man.
I mean, that was a crazy story. I mean, I don't have it written down to go word by word, but he pretty much was saying that, like, you know, he worked in a jail. There was this dude that was just a smooth talker, and he was about to get out of jail, and the dude knew that he was faking it the whole time. So he attacks him. The dude breaks out of jail. I mean, some other things happen, but the dude breaks out of jail and he goes and kills Eastman's family. And then Morgan asks him, like, you know, oh, like, so what'd you do? Like, you know what I mean? Did you go and get this dude? And Eastman says, hold up, I have it written here. I come to believe that all life is precious.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yo, imagine that. Like, yo, you know who killed your family. You know who killed your wife, your daughter. I think it was a daughter he had, right? And just the fact that, like, that was still his belief. Like, a regular person is like, yo, I'm going to go kill this dude.
I think he had two children.
I think it was two.
I think he had two children.
But still. Like, and Morgan kept, like, he's like, yo, that's, you sure that's all you did? And he just repeated it.
So yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I completely forgot about that, the Crete and Dallas
story.
So here's the interesting thing about Crete and Dallas. So like Sayer said, Eastman used to work as a psychiatrist of sorts, and he would evaluate criminals to decide whether or not they would be eligible for parole. Mm-hmm. So he saw through Creighton Dallas, and he saw that he would not be eligible for parole. And mm-hmm. Creighton Dallas saw that Eastman saw this. Mm-hmm. Once he realized that Eastman saw this, he made it, Creighton Dallas, yep. he made it his job to make Eastman's life a living hell, mm-hmm. if not kill him. He tried to attack him. That didn't work. Eastman said, fuck out of here. He can't get out. They released him. No, excuse me. No, he broke out of jail.
He broke out.
Went, killed Eastman's family.
And then turned himself back
turned
in.
Turned himself in. And then they let him go.
Yeah.
He got put on parole.
He got put on parole.
Right. And he was working a graveyard.
But then we find this out a little bit later.
But the interesting thing, because I do want to skip to the end of it, because we're at 44 minutes right now. But the interesting thing is, when Morgan asked him, what did you do? And Eastman said, I've come to believe that all life is precious. He continued to say that for a reason, because we find out later on, let's rewind a little bit. Later on in the episode, the climax is Morgan is in an area that he had already cleared mm-hmm. because he was telling Eastman, hey, look, we can get rations from here and mm-hmm. yada, yada. Eastman is like, all right, cool. Morgan already cleared this area, but this is the area where he killed the two humans.
Yeah.
Stabbed the one dude through the throat mm-hmm. and the other guy he choked out. And the one that he choked out
comes back.
Came back as a walker.
Excuse me.
He never got his brain. Mm-hmm. Came back as a walker, and Morgan noticed the dude. Mm-hmm.
And froze up.
He froze up, and he was going to get bitten. He was going to die. And Eastman saved him, threw Morgan out the way, and the walker bit Eastman. Mm-hmm. Very symbolic of many things, because technically Eastman saved Morgan's life in more ways than one.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Morgan's sinful acts are what got Eastman killed.
Yep.
Kind of crazy. But anyway, we find out shortly after that Eastman actually did make it his fucking life goal to find
Creighton Dallas.
Found Creighton Dallas, brought him to this same exact cottage,
which is why he built the cell to begin with.
Put him in the cell and let him starve to death. And it took 47 days?
47, I think
47, it was. 43, 47.
For some reason, I think that's going to be important. But
let this dude starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 47 days.
That's wild.
And what he said afterward was he didn't feel any satisfaction from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what led him to say that he believes that all life is precious, because at the end of the day, he felt like, what did I gain from this?
Yeah.
And the other thing to mention is when he went to turn himself in afterward to Atlanta, he realized there was nobody to turn himself into.
Yeah.
So very interesting things. As we know, Eastman obviously died shortly after Morgan did bury him.
One quick thing real quick
yep.
that I picked up on too, and it kind of went back again to maybe the first episode. While they're training, Eastman looks at Morgan. He goes, you're going to hold a baby again.
I did not realize that.
He says that to him, and then I went back and you started thinking, like, remember when
and he held Judith,
but he was a little like,
he was, you
saw, yeah,
it.
He was hesitant, but like you saw a look on his face like he was a little overjoyed, like, damn man, like, again, he was right.
I,
you know what I mean,
did not remember that part.
Whoa, drop a bomb. Got him.
I did not remember that part.
I thought that was dope. I was just like, wow, okay, that explains his little hesitation at first.
That's dope as shit.
You know what I mean? But I thought that was cool. And then, you know, end of the episode, you see that Morgan was telling the story, and you're like, who's he telling the story to? The fucking wolf that he knocked out. When he knocked the dude out, and he said, sorry. Same way Eastman did to him.
Yep.
And, like, you could tell the dude was just like, yo, man, that's an interesting story. Like, do you really believe it? So on and so forth. And Morgan's thinking that he could change this dude the same way that Eastman did. And the wolf was just like, man, yeah, I, you know, that's you think that could happen to me? And Morgan's like, yeah. He goes, well, listen, end of the day, I still have to kill you. I still have to kill everybody in this town. You know what I mean? Yo. And you see Morgan, like, you take a step back, like, damn,
God
man.
Damn
like,
it, man.
I told you this hour and a half long story, and that's all you got out of this shit. You know, and
nigga, Morgan wasted a Walking Dead episode on himself.
Just to talk to this dude. But now the one thing that I thought about also at the end of the episode is Morgan locks him up. So is it going to be similar to like what Eastman did to Creighton Dallas?
I
he's just
going to
let this dude starve?
Not.
Or is this guy going to break out? Or is, like, we don't know what's going.
So here's
we
what
don't
I,
know what's going to happen.
So here's what I think. When I said I hope not, I didn't know that you were going to say let him starve. I hope he does let him starve.
I hope so,
but
too.
But 47 days is too long. Mm. 47 days is too long to let's start there. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that the fact that he's even alive and there is very dangerous.
Yep.
I hope that Morgan doesn't have the door open.
He locks it.
He has it locked.
But still,
somebody's gonna find him. I hope Carol finds him and lets off on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Morgan is gonna have a problem with Rick at that point.
He's gonna have a problem, and I think that's.
But
what
we don't know that that's
gonna
happen. But I just hope. I hope that what I do think is gonna happen doesn't happen. I think the cliche plot of this story is the dude is gonna be able to either get out or he's gonna kill someone. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case, the dude knows he's gonna die.
Yep.
Because he was bitten or scratched by a walker and he showed Morgan the cut on his side. Mm. So he knows he's going to die. Yeah. So at the end of the day, he's taking out whoever he can.
So him starving is...
Yeah, forget about starving.
It's dumb.
He's
right.
going to turn into
I
a walker long before
that.
I
forgot about that and that was like a key point.
Yeah, he's going to turn into a walker long before that. I don't know what's going to happen. I just hope the next episode is a little bit interesting. The preview didn't seem that great, but... we'll see.
Yeah, and like I said, this episode, as much of like it was a little bit of a sleeper, like I said, it answered a lot of questions. And now we know why Morgan is the way that he is.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So, all right, man. So there you go. There you have it. The Walking Dead. We spent a lot more time than we expected
Way more time than we thought we were going to spend.
But still dope.
It was a 90-minute episode, so you know.
It was a lot. You know, but all right, man. So let's get back into this. I feel like we touched on this Meek Mill and Drake and Wale for like the last few episodes.
So many times.
But it's always something new with this dude, Meek.
It's always something with this
nigga. I keep
telling
like, yo, I want Meek to do well. I'm a fan of his music. I think he does great music.
He does.
Somebody needs to just take his fucking phone away and just like, yo, stay off of social media.
They need to take his phone and burn it.
Yeah,
melt
definitely,
it, throw it in
man.
It needs to go somewhere he can't find it.
So,
and it's really sad because the motherfucker, like I said, he do make good music, and I fuck with his shit. Like I fuck with him.
Yeah.
Period. But it's just like he's really making himself out to be the worst of himself that he
definitely
can possibly,
man.
You know what I mean? Like it's just. So what's new with this nigga now? All
right. So, and I'm shocked. The post is still up there, but he went on IG, posted a picture of himself, and again is going at Wale. And he says here, he goes, you can't be friends with someone who wants your life. You can't break bread with someone who wants you slice. I'm dead serious.
Just quoting
exactly what he says. That's why I keep like, whoa, what the fuck? Because you can't be on a team with someone who wants you to lose. Can't be family if it's got to be all about you. And then he puts MMG, Dream Chasers, minus the fuckboy. Pretty much speaking about Wale.
Now, just to throw a little bit of perspective in this too, this is after Rick Ross made a statement. Mm-hmm. Rick Ross made a statement that everything is everything. Let's put it that way. I can't quote him exactly, mm-hmm. but he made a generic statement that everything was everything. And, you know, he started to, promote albums.
Yeah,
you know,
made up some fake album. He gave a lot of, we're just bosses, we're going to work this out, blah, zay, blah. And, I mean, he's great. Yo, that's one thing I'll give Ross. Yo, he's great at deflecting fucking questions.
He's not as good as Joe Budden. He's not as good as Joe Budden.
That episode was wild.
I don't care what nobody says. Nobody is better
at deflecting questions to Joe Budden.
You're absolutely right.
But anyway, yeah. Rick Ross is definitely good at it.
Yeah, he's good at it. So Wale, yo, I fuck with Wale for this, yo, because he's been like responding with like a lot of sarcasm. He's letting y'all know that it's not bothering him the way that it's bothering me. So somebody, some chick was just like, yo, Philly women still love you. And then he responds with, well, one of them is mad at me though. And then he responds, he puts another tweet. He goes, I can't fathom how someone can always assume they're envied. Not all of us have the same shallow desires.
Woo!
You know what I mean? Like, yo, that's real. You know what I mean? And then he pretty much, I didn't get the tweet. I didn't write it down. But he pretty much said something like, yo, we all been broke. Like, stop talking about how much money you have. You know what I mean? Like, people don't really care about that. I forgot the exact tweet. I wish I wrote it down, but he said something like that. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. We are all sorry. Oh, I did. He goes, we were all poor once. And then he posted War, like a group from like the 1970s. They had a song called Why Can't We Be Friends? That shit is hilarious. And then the other tweet that I saw, someone put, he added Meek, and he was like, yo, I swear on my kids, for the right ticket, I'll get Wale the fuck out of here. And then Wale responds, he puts, quotes, he goes, Meek, please be my friend. I'll be mean to Wale. I'll risk my entire freedom and make sure my children are fatherless just for you. You know what I mean? Like, he's been like, it's been so sarcastic, and he's letting people know, like, yo, this shit really ain't bothering me. Like, Meek is just looking worse and worse.
You know what it is? It's really not hard to make Meek look like a fucking idiot these days. Like, honestly, if Meek came from my neck today, I could make him look like a piece of shit. And it would be so easy for me.
It's because it's
because
all
what
out
do you
there.
Really got
to
do?
He's doing it to himself.
Yeah, man. He's killing himself, man. I don't really even want to spend too much time talking about it.
That's all that I have.
At the end of the day, Meek really needs to focus on making some fucking music, man. Because it's getting to the point where it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to the point where even if he drops a fucking dope song, it's not going to help him. Right. You know, 3 weeks ago, if he would have dropped a dope record, it would have been
people
like, all right,
just,
man.
Yeah, we would have just forgotten
about
it.
Nah, Drake killed him, but you know what? I'm still riding with Meek.
Good music.
You know, whatever. He lost it against Drake, but he's doing his thing. But yeah. Now it's like, my nigga, it's been a month. It's been a month. You begin a spanking after spanking. You have not released anything.
No music.
Except for 1-0.
Yeah.
Which was a flop.
Yeah.
Which was a flop. And I liked 1-0. I'm not going to lie. I was one of the few people who liked 1-0. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing as effing. It's the same thing as effing. I like effing.
Yeah.
I like it. It's not a bad vodka. But the way 50 was coming at every other brand, it made me judge it more.
Yeah, exactly.
So for 1-0, I liked it. I thought it was a cool regular record.
We didn't get all those cuts in and outs, would have probably made it better. But
yeah, but you know what? If Flex was on his shit. Oh my God, speaking of Flex. Flex was on his shit. Flex was on his shit, but it's just like, I thought it was decent. I liked the beat, but you know, for what Meek was talking shit about and what he expected us to think it was, it made me judge it more, and it wasn't good enough.
Yeah,
but Meek needs to just shut the fuck up and put out a hot record. And
yo,
now
if he puts out another Lord Knows, another intro, nigga, he'll be back in everybody's good graces.
But even today, I don't know, man. I don't know, because it's just like he's done too much.
He still has people who fuck with him.
Hey, dude.
Like I said, if Meek is to put out something dope tomorrow, I'll fuck with it. I might be a little bit more judgmental.
I'd fuck with it, but I'd almost be reluctant to even. I'd fuck with it.
I would listen just for the fact, like, all right, I want to see if he's taking a shot at Drake, if he's taking a shot at Wale, and if he does, then I'm like, all right, this shit is trash. Just make good music, bro. Just make good music. That's it. That's all that we're here for.
Please.
You lost to Drake. There's nothing you could do with Drake. Your thing is, when you went at Cassidy, y'all got more money. You don't have more money than Drake.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't win that. You said that Future was your favorite artist. Guess what Drake does? Puts out a fucking album with Future. You know what I mean? So you're just taking L's, bro. Like, just sit back, my nigga. Get off of your phone and put out good fucking music. That's it.
And he's had interviews in the past where he says only people he talks to is Wale and Drake.
Yeah.
What?
Those are the two people that you're beefing with, my nigga.
Let's put it this way, man. Anyway, perfect segue. Back to the Funk Flex shit. There's some new mixtapes that are out. And it's actually a breath of fresh air for hip hop.
Yep.
I think I won't say so much the song that I'm
getting excited.
Say so much the song that I'm getting ready to get into. But speaking of Funk Flex, we know that French Montana and Fetty Wap just dropped a mixtape.
Which
I don't know if they were trying to be like Drake.
And, to be alive,
I don't know if they were trying. I didn't listen to it, and I'm not rushing to.
Before you get to that fire, I'll give my take. I listened to it like 2 times. There are a few songs, and you know what's crazy to me is it's not even like What a Time to Be Alive. Because like What a Time to Be Alive, Future and Drake were on every song except for Jerseys and 30 for 30.
30 for 30, right.
They made that to be their own, right? So with this tape, it's kind of like it was just like just thrown together.
It was a mashup.
Yeah, like this song's
songs.
Yeah, it's just like French
songs.
Has some solos. Fetty has some solos. They have a few songs together. I think Freaks is the standout track, and I'm not even crazy about that. They redid I Wonder, which is like one of my favorite songs on Fetty's album, and just threw French on it. So it's just like real lazy, and then like French has songs on there. He has a Chris Brown joint, which is I fuck with, kind of. And then they have that one banger on the tape, at least for me. That shit that Funk Flex was going off of.
So let me get into this story, because I was driving down to the city with my fiance Quana, and we were just, once we broke into Jersey, we threw Hot 97 on. Mm-hmm. Or she threw Hot 97 on. And like, I want to say 10 minutes into Jersey, we hear Funk Flex start dropping bombs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he starts playing a new record by French called Concentrating.
Yep.
And at first, I'm like, man, you know how Funk Flex do.
Yeah, yeah.
He drop 50 bombs, run it back 50 times. I'm like, yo, man, this shit is annoying. And this shit is whack. Like, French ain't saying shit. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I fuck with French because he's from the Bronx and all
BX
that.
All
and, you know, BX all fucking day. So I want to hear any nigga from the Bronx doing good. And mm-hmm. I fuck with French. But, you know, let's face it. French is not the most lyrical nigga. He putting out the music for the niggas that want to hear trap music. Mm-hmm. And he's doing what's hot these days.
Yeah.
But he doing his thing. Shout out to French. So, Flex keep playing it back, and I'm just like, man, I don't want to hear this shit. I won't lie, Flex spent so much time playing this shit back. It was like, it was like 10 minutes later, and I mean legit minutes, that he kept playing this shit back. I heard the first verse like 100 times.
I hate when he does that shit, yo.
I heard the first verse like 100 times. I'm not gonna lie, that's like my favorite song right now.
Yeah.
That's like my shit. He kept playing it back, and I'm like, yo, you know what, Quana? I fucks with this shit. She was like, yo, I didn't want to say nothing, but I fucks with it too. And I thought to myself, like, damn, like Flex is really doing his job, because at the end of the day, that's what he getting paid for.
Exactly.
He getting paid to make the new songs hot, but shout out to French with that joint Concentrating.
I think that was the best song.
That shit, bro. He was going off, man. He was going off. But there's a lot of other mixtapes that came out. And like I said, they're breaths of fresh air for hip hop today, because all we hear nowadays is just trap music. Mm-hmm. All we hear is What a Time to Be Alive. All we hear is Future.
And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't want us to come across as haters, because I fuck with it.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just you don't get a variety anymore.
Yeah, you need that variety.
You don't get a variety anymore. And it used to be that the variety was the artists like Nelly and the artists like Ja Rule and the artists like Drake. They used to be the variety, or even Kanye. You know, they used to be the artists that you listen to for a little something different than just straight rap.
Yeah.
And now it's like all you hear is trap music. Damn, now the variety is Jadakiss, Lloyd Banks, you know, Joel Santana. You don't hear a lot from these specific artists.
Yeah.
You don't hear a lot.
Can't be putting out shit and like niggas don't even know.
Nobody knows, you know. Shout out to Styles P for the Wise Guy and the Wise Guy album. It's
Y'all
actually
still
a dope
need
album.
To hear it.
That's a dope album.
Oh man, I'm
that's
I'm
a dope
slacking.
Album. I've listened to it. It's a dope album.
Yeah.
But anyway, Breath of Fresh Air. Let's run off some of the mixtapes that came out.
Shout out to PLK.
Oh, absolutely.
He had us on edge, man. You know, they put out the picture on IG for Halloween Havoc 2, and immediately, like, between us here, Jay was excited, JP was excited, Drew was excited. Yo, we was all excited.
I don't mean to cut you off. For the people who don't know PLK.
Oh, my fault.
Right.
Punchline King.
Right.
Lloyd Banks.
Right.
You know what I mean? If y'all don't know. So he had Halloween Havoc how many years ago? It was quite some time ago.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, and then just because he's been so quiet and we're fans, just to see that he was putting something out, yo, and the whole tape is nylon.
The tape is nylon. Fire. He's actually, you know what I've even noticed about Lloyd Banks? And like Lloyd Banks is such a syllable clay killer. That it makes you listen. You don't hear rap anymore that makes you just shake your head from side to side. Yeah. Like you got the stink face on and you just shaking your head from side to side. Like, God damn, what the, oh shit. Like you don't hear that type of hip hop anymore.
Yeah. I really had to listen to the tape a few times. I'm still going
to
go back.
I've listened to the tape like six times at this point.
Yo, you know what I really appreciate about Banks is when he first came out, his punchlines were a little predictable. Now they're like buried within the verse.
Oh yeah.
So like you really have to listen. So like at first it might just sound cool, and then like you really listen, like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like he said some shit. So I want to go back and listen to. I mean, catch on a few things here and there, but like before I go quoting all that, I want to listen to it a few more times so I pick up on everything. But he definitely delivered with this tape. You know what I mean? It definitely wasn't a letdown at all. Do you have anything to say about it? Anything else before I get down to the rest of this list here real quick?
Nah, shout out to Banks. I know we have some political connections, some listeners that are some true Banks fans.
Yeah.
For me, it's like I said, it's really a breath of fresh air.
Everclear.
List Everclear on deck. It's a breath of fresh air hearing a project like this because you don't hear this type of hip hop anymore. I think it's unfortunate that we spend so much time praising it because in the early 2000s and even mid 2000s, this would have been something regular where it was like, yo, Banks released some shit. This is fire.
Yep.
Right now, it's like I'm praising this shit like it's something else because you don't hear it anymore.
Yep.
And that's not discrediting the tape because the tape is fire. But at the same time, it's like, damn, man, how can we not hearing this? Not hearing this from Juelz? How can we not hearing this from
Juelz? Needs to drop something, man.
He absolutely needs to drop
his
something.
His last tape was
his
from
last
beginning
tape was
to
crazy.
End was crazy.
Ain't nobody safe.
Oh,
all right. All right. We won't get into that. But anyway.
It is. But shout out to Banks. Yo, you put out a crazy tape. Real quick, I'll just run off a few other mixtapes that I listened to. Vado. I know some people fuck with him, other people don't.
You know Harlem niggas is riding.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
OD.
You know what I mean? The Slime Flu 5 is actually pretty dope. I mean, he has a few songs that are just again, because we just came off of Banks. He has a joint with Banks on there that is bananas. So y'all need to check that out. Jadakiss put out Top 5 Dead or Alive, where he's just rapping over classic hip hop. So if y'all want to hear that, definitely check it out. I know he still has an album, I think, that's coming out very soon, with the same name, Top 5 Dead or Alive. But if you just want to hear some bars, definitely check that mixtape out. And then last but not least, Puff. Puff just put out a tape. It's Wednesday. So he put out a tape on Wednesday for his birthday. And I won't lie, like, I think he's bugging putting it out for free. Maybe because he knows he'll get more plays or whatever. But, yo, it's an album. Like, I compare it almost to, like, Compton, because the production is crazy. Again, we know that Puff don't really be writing his shit. You could tell he got a bunch of features on every song, but it's not overdoing it, and you could tell niggas is writing for Puff or whatever, but, like, it's a concept mixtape, I guess you could say. It has concepts to it. The songs are crazy. I'm going to pause. I'm going to sit on it a little bit more. Definitely listen to it a few more times, but it's definitely a great mixtape. And again, we're not shitting on the trap music at all, but it's just, if you want to hear something different, definitely check those out. You know what I mean? Definitely check those out.
Speaking of that, you know, I realized that as 80s babies, and for me, again, like I mentioned in the SIBO Half and Half episode, mm-hmm. I'm an 80s baby, but I'm a very late 80s baby, so mm-hmm. I consider myself a 90s. I grew up in the 90s, yeah. Right? But I also grew up with a brother that was born in 82. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? 81, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just grew up around real hip hop because me just looking up to my brother and looking up to all of his friends, I wanted to be like them. So I listened to what they listened to. Yeah. And I, you know, I just put myself in that environment, even being a 90s kid. But I feel like, you know, we have to put into perspective that a lot of our listeners, not all, but yeah. a lot of our listeners are millennials.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings us to our next topic, which you yeah. brought to me.
This dude, Vince Staples, I haven't really heard a lot from him. The only thing that I heard from him, I know he has a song called Blue Suede Shoes. That's pretty much the only like single I heard from him. Besides that, I heard him, I believe he's on Common's Nobody's Smiling album twice. But he pretty much went out and said that he doesn't understand the hype around 90s hip hop. And he pretty much said that the time frame that we should be praising is the 2000s. And at first, I won't lie, I got tight. I'm like, yo, this nigga's wild.
And then you know what it is, but go ahead.
Yeah. And then they went and then I went and realized like, all right, yo, this dude was born in like 93. So again, he can't appreciate the 90s. So of course, once he really started listening to music and listening to hip hop was in the like probably late 90s or like the 2000s. He even went on to say, which blew my fucking mind, he said that while he was growing up, Bow Wow was one of his favorite rappers.
Oh,
wild.
Oh my God.
Wild. You know what I mean? But he goes on to say like, you know, I don't know why people are praising the 90s because they didn't have a 50. They didn't have a Kanye. They didn't have, you know, this person and that person. I'm like, yo, you saying they didn't have 50. They had a Pac. You know what I mean? You say that you have a Kanye. Yo, you have like Puff was doing his thing. You had Mace. You had Jay. You had Nas. You know what I mean? 50 actually came out in the late 90s, but didn't blow up until, you know what I mean, the 2000s. So I'll give you that one. I mean, the list just goes on.
You
CNN.
Had Pun. You had Big, you had CNN.
Pun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had Wu-Tang. You had Pun. You had
Wu-Tang.
Big L.
Jeez.
You had Big L. You had Rough Riders, DMX, Jada. You had the Lox.
Yeah.
You had countless. You had Lil' Kim. You had mm-hmm. Biggie.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You had Foxy Brown.
And that's all in the 90s.
Who didn't you had? You had yeah. You had Eve. Even today, female rappers is not what they used to be.
No, not at all.
You had Eve. You had Foxy Brown. You had
I think that's early, but like Lady of Rage and shit like that.
Yeah, that's earlier. That's, but
early. I don't even really remember her shit. But like, it's not even the same. Like now, you just have like you can only have one female rapper right now. But
I just feel like that sort of statement coming from somebody is like, you know why, and not even just saying, okay, that person was born mm-hmm. in that era. It's just you can't fall in love with hip hop until mm-hmm. you understand.
Pretty
so,
much.
And I say from the age of like you get it. You start to like you could listen to music at very very early ages, like 5, 6, and you could just bop to it, and mm-hmm. you get put in the zone where you just, you know, you move to the rhythm of it. But until you're around like, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9, when you start comprehending the, you know, when you start gaining the ability to recite lyrics and okay. really listen
and
remember and yeah. understand things, you don't get that until you're around 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And for somebody who's born in 93, 2000 is the time where you where begin to really start really started. Appreciating shit.
Yep.
And so, you know, for me, it might have been, you know, 97, 96, yeah, or whatever the case. But at the same time, the music that I was hearing was different because I had an older brother.
That's just, I'm in the same boat
as you. And I don't know exactly where I would have been coming up in the 90s without a sibling, without older cousins, older brothers, because I'm one of the youngest. You know, my mother had me when she was in her mid-30s. And the fact that my brother's 8 years older than me, it says something. And I had older cousins. I had, like I said, I had a lot of older family. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's what I was around. I don't know what kind of fan of hip hop I would be if I didn't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
know. Maybe he didn't have that.
Because I didn't, you know what I mean? I grew up on the difference between like music and television, right? Like my brother grew up on Thundercats. I grew up on Dragon Ball Z and Sonic and Rugrats, and those are 90s cartoons. Yeah, yeah. He grew up on 80s cartoons, but some of those cartoons you couldn't find in the 90s. Mm. You know, the difference between that and music is you could find all that music still in the early 2000s and in the late 90s. You could find older music just like you could find it now, but you got to really be looking
for it.
But at that time, it was still popping to listen to Illmatic. It was still popping to listen to Ready or Die.
He wasn't, you know what it was? He wasn't around. He wasn't around to like really get that effect. Like he'd be like, yo, I think Illmatic is a great album. He wasn't there to really witness
it. Exactly.
That's why, like, when you went back to the SIBO Half and Half episode, when I said, when you spoke about M and I spoke about J, like, yo, it impacted my life because I remember being on the block and hearing niggas drive by playing Can't Knock the Hustle.
You had to be there. Like, exactly. The reason why 50 was so impactful to me, and I get why he was impactful to Vince Staples or whoever else, the reason he was so impactful to me, because that was one of the first artists, I won't say the first, for me it was Eminem, but it was one of the first artists that I literally watched come up, you know? Like, just like when Get Rich or Die Trying came out, it was like, oh shit, we know who this dude is, but nobody was really checking for him.
Yeah.
It was sort of like Kendrick Lamar. So people who were born in the late 90s, they're looking at Kendrick Lamar, even in the 2000s.
They're
looking at Kendrick Lamar like, yo, I remember Section 80. I didn't really say anything. I didn't know, you know, I didn't look for him like that. But oh my God, Good Kid, Mad City comes out, and now Kendrick Lamar is the 50.
That's their Eminem or 50.
Exactly.
J. Cole is there, Jay-Z.
Exactly. You know Drake is the fucking God at this point. You know what I mean? Drake is God. So it's like, you know, you can't fault anybody because it's just the era that you grew up in.
Exactly. Because that's just like I'll speak to like my father, like my uncles, and they're just like, man, they ain't fucking with Slick Rick. And I'm just like, I can't. Although I understand, like, you know what I mean? I went back and listened to it and I can't appreciate it because I wasn't
there. You just
there.
Weren't there.
You know what I mean? But to them, that's they were there for it. You know what I mean?
I find myself listening to Backspin a lot on SiriusXM.
But you know, you can enjoy it.
You can enjoy it, but I wasn't there, man. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't literally living the life that they were speaking about adults living.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I listen to Big Daddy Kane and Slick Rick, and I'm like, damn, they was killing it.
Like imagine Big Daddy Kane back then, like you listen to it, like, yo, he's amazing.
I listen to it, I'm like, yo, this dude is killing it crazier than artists that's out here today.
Today.
And I say to myself, that's crazy because like you said, we weren't there. So the impact is different, right? Like I was there when 50 dropped Get Rich or Die Trying and he was going at y'all. And then The Massacre came out and he was going at Kiss and he was going at Fat Joe and he was going at Mace. He was going at everybody. And it's like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, this nigga's really going ham. Like, you become a part of that era. And it's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, like I said, we're not mad. He did go back and apologize. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't take a sucker out like, hey, man, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. He just explained, like, pretty much what we just spoke about. He goes, hey, listen, I was born at this time. I couldn't really appreciate the 90s. He shouldn't have said that, the 90s are overrated the way he said it.
Yeah.
He should have just said, hey, listen, I didn't really come up on the 90s. I could talk about 2000 and on for days if you guys want to, but, like, I really can't go back to the 90s. You know what I mean? If he would have just said that, I don't think it would have been an issue. You know what I mean? Then he went and bought in like, oh, I was speaking with Noriega. Like, yeah, you see, we're cool. Like, everything is good now. Like, all right, man, we get it. You know what I mean? But you should have just, you shouldn't have said it from jump.
I agree, man. I agree.
You know what I mean? Anything else, sir, before we get out of here?
Nah. I think we got a lot. Covered that we wanted to talk about in this episode. We had a few things that we didn't get a chance to touch on, but we definitely gonna touch on those things next week. You know, final words for me, like I said, man, I really appreciate everybody listening and showing us love, leaving reviews. You know, if you need to know how to write a review, go ahead and go to the podcast app on your iPhone, search the Officially Street the Officially Street Podcast. Click the podcast, go to write a review and leave those stars, write your comments. You don't even have to write a review. You can just leave the stars, submit the review. And as far as social media shout outs, you know where you can find us. Go to officiallystreet.com or soundcloud.com/officially-street. You can find me at JOmegaSO on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. You could find us both on Facebook at facebook.com/officiallystreet. You can go to
Twitter.
Go to Twitter
at @TOS_podcast_SO.
Yep. If you're still listening, please do us a favor. Leave us a comment on SoundCloud. Interact with us on Twitter. Interact with us on Facebook. And shoot us an email at officiallystreet@gmail.com. We notice a lot of you guys, these are long episodes, and I think some of the people who are listening to our podcast more regularly, they understand that this is sort of the norm for podcasts of this nature. And you guys have been rocking with us. If you're listening, just do us a favor, man. Leave us a comment at this time on SoundCloud. Let us know you're still listening, because it's important to us. If you guys are tuning out, then we feel like you're not getting the full impact of the episodes.
Definitely.
So if you're listening, let us know. That's really it for me. What about you?
Let's see. IG and Snapchat, you guys can find me at Syer. That's Syer_SO. I'm on Twitter at just SyerSO. And same with SoundCloud, so you guys could check that out. And before we sign off, it's No Shave November. Let's stick this shit out. It's only like 4 days in, and I look like a fucking bum already. So it is going to be rough. y'all share your stories with us, man. My wife isn't gonna be happy, but hey, I'm gonna stick this shit out. All right.
It is
pause.
It is Movember. I got, man, listen, I've been shaved. So I shaved. I kind of stuck to the tradition of No Shave November, and I did shave on October 31st.
So did I.
And here I am looking. I'm not looking crazy. Personally, my hair doesn't grow, but by the end of November, who knows what I'll look like. We're going to post pictures. We're going to post pictures tonight of what we look like for Movember, for No Shave November. We're going to post our pictures for what we look like at the end of No Shave November. So everybody who's rocking with us, send us pictures at the Officially Street Podcast at gmail.com. Or excuse me, officiallystreet@gmail.com. And hit us up at TOS_podcast_SO on Twitter. Send us your pictures. We want to see what y'all look like. Pause, no homo. And we want to see what y'all look like at the end of the month. Leave us a comment. Leave us some emails. Leave us some.
Oh, real quick. My fault. I didn't mean to cut you off, Jay.
Go ahead.
No Shave November. Does that mean no haircut or shape up November?
I think it just means no shave.
Okay, because JP was getting at me like, nigga, that means everything, you bitch. I'm just like, hey, bro, I'm not touching from the beard down.
I think it's just the beard.
I need this. This needs to be taken care of. The waves need to be good.
Right. So technically, you know what I mean? Technically, a haircut is not a shave.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to clarify that. Y'all can reach out and let us know if we're wilding.
Here's the interesting thing. If you're bald, Does No Shave November pertain to your bald ass head also?
Hey, yo, Dad, let us know, because my pops is bald.
Because you shave your head.
Yeah.
So I wonder if No Shave November also pertains to your bald ass scalp.
Flex, drop another bomb.
Michael Jordan, let us know. Magic Johnson, please leave us a comment. Shit.
All right, man.
Anyway, we appreciate y'all listening.
Whoa.
We'll holler at y'all.
Whoa.
I walk in with stacks all in my pants. My bad bitch, she do it with no hands. I post up, drink all of my cup, middle finger to the sky screaming. Okay, I'm back on, clap on, posted up with my cap on. Team full of them riders with me, and most of them got the strap on. No homo shit, no photo shit, they do artwork with them cannons though. Bob Ross with them hammers, yo, it's no problem getting them max drawn. You'll get that, we can paint the picture. I don't think you really want to see that though. You'll be the one that we make the victim. I don't think you really want to be that though. I mean, most dudes high when they see us though. I'm so NY like a PS4. And this nigga in the room, I beat that show. I'm the go-to guy.